Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Health insurance made easy through It's for Women.
Good morning, Dermot Whelan here. I'm sitting in for Oliver for the day. We have a great show for you this morning. It's Monday, the 28th of April, and I'm with you until 10 a.m. How's it going, everybody? Hope you're all in good form. Get in touch in the usual way. Text 51551. You can WhatsApp 087-032-3232. Or if you've got anything more complex on your mind, you want to send something longer, all you got to do is email oliver@rte.ie. We're going to be speaking to Carl Spain on the show today, who some say is Limerick's finest comedian. I would say second finest. We'll be chatting about life on the road, with his latest stand-up tour, writing for other comedians, and why the partner he met on a TV show still won't marry him. I will also be joined by Daniel Sexton, who is an art teacher teaching in Cork Prison. He's been teaching in prisons for 14 years now, and he'll be telling us about the importance of creativity in all spheres of life and how art is a great leveller. Now, there were absolutely loads of things happening over the weekend. If you're a sports fan like myself, it was actually very hard to decide what you were going to watch and what you were going to watch and when. We might as well start with the GAA because that was the big one. Royal Flush stuns Dubs is the headline in the Irish Independence Monday sports section today after Meath beat Dublin in the Leinster Senior Football Championship semi-final, 23 points to 116. We've been hearing about it all morning on Morning Ireland, of course. And the question being asked in the paper this morning is it the greatest shock in Gaelic football history? It's difficult to think of a bigger one, really, or so says Eamon Sweeney in the Indo. I'm not sure if it was the greatest shock in footballing history, but it is true that Meath scored more in one half against Dublin than in the entirety of the previous nine meetings, lifting the hearts of the anyone but Dublin brigade around the country. Meath manager Robbie Brennan, who was obviously delighted after it, said he never doubted his side's ability to cause an upset. And he's quoted on the front of the Indo sports section saying, "All week, I just kept saying, we have to stay in the fight. If someone goes past you, you've got to stay in the fight. Stay in the game and keep hunting and looking for work." Great advice for life, really, isn't it? Not just sport. I can see maybe Robbie bringing out a self-help book one of these days. Cork tip 427 to 24 points in the Munster Senior Hurling Championship clash between Cork and Tip. The game was over before it started, many said, or at least it was for Tip corner forward Darren McCarthy, who was sent off for striking in the very first minute of the game. I was watching Henry Shefflin talking about it, and he felt it was a fair decision in fairness. And you know, I was watching that and the Waterford Clare game, a bit of a one-sided affair as well. And it was just interesting to see. You just really felt sorry for the young lad, didn't you, for Dara? Because I think we can all relate to times in our lives when we came out a little bit too overzealous and messed things up a bit. And I wonder, was the hype in the dressing room just a little bit over-enthusiastic? But it definitely did, I guess, change the direction of the game. Another thing I noticed, why is it at GAA matches, even if it's freezing cold, there's always one young lad behind the goal but no top on? There's always one guy. I wonder, is there a decision made? I'll do it this week, lads. You know, I was looking at it and the parent in me was just worrying for his health. You know, it's freezing. He'll catch his death. Hopefully there was enough tin foil from the collective sandwiches in the crowd to make him one of those foil recovery blankets you see at the end of marathons or at accident scenes, and he didn't get pneumonia. I was on the GAA sidelines myself this weekend for the big one. I know. Bin Aider versus Clontarf under 14 girls. I know it's the one that you're all really thinking about today. My daughter was playing. And I want to know if any other parent notices this phenomenon that's happening on GAA pitches around the country. The gum shield scenario, because you can't play, they won't let the kids play unless they have a gum shield, and rightly so, because it protects their teeth and saves us all a fortune on orthodontics bills. But I don't know if you've noticed, but there doesn't seem to be one child with the gum shield actually in their mouth. They sort of have it hanging out like a sort of a weird rubber cigar. And they're all running around at full tilt, trying to play sports and breathe at the same time. And it can't be helping the breathing at all. And it certainly isn't doing the one thing that the gum shield is required to do, and that is protect their teeth. So I was wondering, does any other parent notice this? And is it just GAA? I'm sure maybe across all sports that requires gum shields, rugby maybe as well, where young kids just don't like having them in their mouth. So they all run around, as I said, with this sort of, like that thing you used to do when you had those milk teeth sweets as a kid and you'd have them sticking out of your gob. 51551, if it's something that you've noticed, or if it's just particular to Bin Aider and Howth and Dublin. Football, of course, across the water. Liverpool secured a record equaling 20th league title in a party atmosphere with a 5-1 victory over Tottenham as fans at Anfield witnessed a championship triumph for the first time in 35 years. Lots of people, I know, very, very happy about that. And WhatsApp groups around the country were lighting up with the slagging. Certainly the WhatsApp groups on my phone. There was a lot of ribbing going on there. And other football news, Katie McCabe. What a hero. The captain of the Republic of Ireland's women's football team, Katie McCabe, is in her 10th season with Arsenal, has become the first Ireland international to reach the Champions League final since its inaugural year in 2009. Incredible achievement. Her club, Arsenal, of course, will take on holders Barcelona in the Women's Champions League final after a superb 4-1 victory at Lyon saw them triumph 5-3 over the 8-time winners on aggregate. I had the great fortune, actually, of visiting the Ireland women's football camp before they left for Australia for the World Cup last year. Was it last year or the year before? I'm losing track of my time now. I was in there for some mindfulness stuff and I was just so impressed by the entire squad. And of course, Katie McCabe is such a wonderful leader and a great example, and I think a great example to young girls as well who really want to get into sport and who are taking to pitches right across the country. So yeah, best of luck to Katie and Arsenal in the Champions League final. There was success as well for Monaghan in sport over the weekend when boxer Aaron McKenna secured an upset victory over former WBO light middleweight world champion Liam Smith by a unanimous decision. The fight at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London was on the undercard of the Conor Benn and Chris Eubank Jr. Showdown. The 25-year-old Monaghan man dropped Smith in the final round with a left hook to the body. And this is a clip from one of his post-fight dressing room interviews where he shows a lot of calm and a lot of ambition as well, actually.
Yeah, absolutely over the moon. That's what I've been talking about all these years. You know, the words I've been preaching throughout the years, it's finally come true now, and people's going to start taking notice. What an honour it was to share the ring with a legend of the sport, Liam Smith, a tremendous fighter, former world champion, and I'm just privileged to get the win over him. I said before the fight, I don't think you've seen half of what I can do, and I've seen a lot of boxing experts, you know, throughout the week not giving me a chance, saying Liam has too much experience for me and stuff like that. So I got to prove people like that wrong, and moving forward now, I want the world title next.
Yeah, sounds like maybe he had Robbie Brennan whispering in his ear. Very confident, very enthusiastic, very driven man. So well done to him. I was actually watching the boxing with my young fella. We were sat down and watched Conor Benn and Chris Eubank. And of course, the two sons of very famous boxing dads. And Chris Eubank was there. Never a man to take, a senior that is, to take a back seat. He was there in his flamboyant outfit, very kind of strange looking sheepskin coat he had on him. But he was there walking around. I think everybody kind of remembers Chris Eubank at the time of the Steve Collins fight. Steve Collins was cheating. It always stuck in my head. These little sporting moments that stay with you forever. But I was watching the boxing and then a famous man came up to ringside and was given a little bit of advice or congratulations or something to boxers in the ring, and it was Gordon Ramsay, the chef. And I was like, what the hell is he doing there? Then you thought, actually, do you know what, it's probably quite fitting, because I'd say he'd be no stranger to aggression over the years is Gordon Ramsay. He's probably thrown an uppercut at a sous chef over the years, and maybe has the recipe for the perfect knuckle sandwich. I feel kind of guilty that I'm here today because Oliver you know, a proud Monaghan man, has much to celebrate today between Aaron the boxer and, of course, as we heard in Morning Ireland a few minutes ago, Monaghan composer Michael Gallen won that fantastic Fedora Award for composing his wonderful opera. So it is such a great day for Monaghan. It's a pity Oliver isn't here. He would have two proper reasons to celebrate his home county, other than his usual strategy of just having a go at Tyrone. So you'd have a lot more fun today. Saunas appear to be having a big moment in Irish culture, and you've probably noticed this phenomenon of them popping up all around the country. It is the saunification of Ireland, and it could see these modern sweat houses becoming, they say, the new Irish pub. According to Outsider.ie, there are now 75 freestanding saunas dotted around the country, from Inchidonny to Portrane, Greystones and beyond. And by freestanding, I mean rejigged horse boxes, wagons and sheds on wheels. And it's not just saunas either. I've done the hot seaweed baths as well, and you know, the ones in the old whiskey barrels too, down in the likes of Doolin in Clare. I'm a big fan of hot cold therapy. I'm just getting into, although I don't think they call it like cold therapy. When we were kids, you just called it getting into the sea. You know, you weren't really aware of what it was doing for your stress response. It was just like going for a swim. But we've a lot of catching up to do with the Finns, apparently, who are huge sauna fans. According to the Irish Independent, the Finns have 3.3 million saunas for a population of 5.4 million people. So these saunas are being the special part of their home. I guess it's the Finnish equivalent of the good room that we have in Ireland, although they actually use it every day and not just when the parish priest calls around. I do know a pal who put a steam room into his house. I know there's a lot of saunas popping up in back gardens, and people with notions are including them in their new builds. But steam rooms, I guess, are a little bit trickier because you're just boiling a lot of water and it gets a bit moldy and all those kinds of things. But a pal of mine did put a steam room in his house when he was having some renovations done. A small thing. It's kind of like a cupboard, essentially, with steam in it. He said it's amazing. He's enjoying it. But he said his electricity bills are now causing more steam to be coming out of his ears. So it is worth bearing that in mind if you're thinking of installing what is essentially a giant kettle into your house. And you know our obsession with the immersion. So how would we be if we had optional steam rooms in there too? We could learn a lot from the Finns, though. They recently topped the world happiness rankings for the 8th year in a row. And sauna culture is said to be one of the 5 things making them happy. The other 5 being nature, food, sustainable design and lifestyle. So why does everyone love saunas? Well, aside from the social benefits, gathering and relaxing with people you know and don't know, although I do hate the old chit-chat in a sauna. We were having that conversation earlier. I like just get in there, shut up, don't be talking to me. Because I was in one of those nudie saunas in Austria recently, and a lady came in and sat down beside me. And by the way, you have to take your clothes off. This wasn't just one that I went looking for. It's not that I'm into it. You just have to do it. But a lady sat down beside me and then leaned over and went, "Are you Dermot Whelan? I'm a big fan of your work." And I was like, "Great, can we just wait till we have clothes on to have this conversation? It's a bit awkward." But they are said to be very good for your health. Cardiovascular health, muscle recovery, respiratory and cognitive health, mental well-being and immune function, all things that are meant to benefit from saunas. Our guest this morning, actually, Carl Spain, is also a sauna fan, so no doubt he'll have some interesting insights. I think a great benefit of the sauna, actually, it's one of the few places left where we just sit there without our phones. And, you know, it's one of the few places where we can actually just daydream, I guess, from a mindfulness point of view, which I tend to be very interested in. You tend to focus naturally on your breath, because when you're sitting there in the heat, you tend to breathe a little bit heavier. And it just is a way of kind of bringing us to be a little bit more connected into our breath, which is nice. And yeah, plus anything where your phone is not there and you're just sitting, I think is a benefit. Were you watching the Pope's funeral over the weekend? I guess it was the big television event and people there from all over the world. And hats off to the organisers, by the way, getting all the main leaders of the world into one place in and out very easily with little or no fuss. It must have been a security nightmare. I think hats off to them. Are they any good at building children's hospitals? Could we get them in to organise some of that? Trump had a little bit of controversy, as usual, because he was the only one in a blue suit. and it was taken by many as a mark of disrespect, which I found incredibly ironic after the pounding Zelensky got over his alleged disrespect at the White House for not wearing the suit and looking the part, as they said. So it was a little bit ironic. Prince William also wore a blue suit, but he saved it with a black tie. So he managed to have a little bit of the dress code there. But isn't that everyone's anxiety dream, that you'll turn up at the thing in the wrong clothes? You know, you'll be the one person in black tie or the blue suit if you're Trump. Trump also nearly didn't do the sign of peace. I don't know if you noticed this over the weekend. And according to one of the newspapers, they got a lip reader to look at what Melania was whispering in his ear. And apparently it was four words, and she was saying to him, "You should do this," because Trump didn't want to shake anybody's hand, him being Trump. He's a famous germaphobe. And I guess, you know, we've all had the, and now you offer each other a sign of peace moment, and you get that sweaty handshake that has you pining for a bottle of sanitizer. But, you know, for him, it must have been a complete nightmare. A 3-hour mass, extra sweaty hands. And yeah, he had no disinfectant within reach. So he did it anyway, in fairness to him. But isn't it good to know that there is somebody in his life who can just, you know, in the briefest of words, tell him exactly what to do? If only we had Melania on him around the issue of tariffs, maybe we wouldn't be going through what we're doing at the moment. A blow for Prince William's sister, speaking of royalty, sister-in-law, I should say, Meghan Markle, as her new podcast drops out of the charts. The Duchess of Sussex's new podcast is called Confessions of a Female Founder, where the royal, or is it former royal, interviews women entrepreneurs on how they made their fortunes. It's 3 episodes in, but it has already dropped out of Spotify's 100 list and failed to make it to Apple's top 200 chart. The Daily Mail, a paper which absolutely loves having an old dig at Meghan and her husband Harry, says she has asked A-list stars such as Beyonce and Taylor Swift to appear on the podcast, but they, quote, aren't answering the phone, and claims the series is already in crisis talks after only 3 episodes. And the podcast comes 2 years after her short-lived $20 million deal with Spotify. $20 million, which resulted in just 12 episodes of her Archetypes podcast and eventually led to a tense breakup with the streaming platform, where one executive famously described Meghan and Harry as grifters. It seems to be just one of those words of the internet at the moment. So obviously, if you're highly interested in... if you're curious, incidentally, about the podcast that beat Meghan's podcast in the charts, a series called Sleep Cove, which is helping listeners with sleep patterns using meditation and hypnosis. It's proving to be more popular among listeners than Meghan's series, reaching 79 on Spotify's UK chart. Obviously, if you're interested in meditation or mindfulness, there is one other podcast I would highly recommend. Just saying. We were trying to decide what song to play today, and in a couple of weeks I'm going to be heading off on my annual lads golf trip, and we are all currently at the moment practicing our karaoke numbers because there's a karaoke bar where we're going. There's nobody cares about the golf. It's like, what are you singing in the karaoke? And this is one that I've been working on, and I think it's actually pretty apt. And I think for any Dublin fans who are smarting a little bit this morning after the result against Meath, then we'll dedicate this one to you. I guess that's why they call it the blues, for the blues felt by the blues today. It's Elton John.